I want to share with you tonight a personal testimony. Because I don't consider myself special, nor do I consider myself weird. You may have different ideas about that, but I don't. I don't think I'm weird or strange in that I hunger for the Lord Jesus more than anything else. I grew up in Alliance Church. My mom says I was in the back pew the week after I was born. That was the last time we sat in the back. We always had to sit in the front. But I remember being raised in that Alliance Church, and it was a different kind of Alliance Church than we have today. There were drums on the platform in 1955. And I remember sitting in a worship service when the power of the Lord came down on that congregation, and everyone was weeping, and everyone was repenting, and the altars were filled. And as a little child of, I don't know, 7 years old, I looked up on the platform, and there was a cloud. I didn't know what it was. Nobody explained it to me. But there was a cloud that descended on the platform. And I distinctly remember riding home in the car with Mom and Dad, and Mom and Dad talking to each other and said, "Did you see the glory? Did you see the Shekinah glory come down?" And I thought, "What kind of, what came down?" The glory cloud that came on the temple. It came on the tabernacle. It came on the day of Pentecost. The cloud of God's glory was there. And as a little child, I thought, wow, that's what that was. I felt it. And I wanted it. And from 7 years of age, God had planted a hunger and a thirst in here to see the glory of the Lord. I can't wait to get to heaven. Well, I can, but I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm not afraid to die today, now, right this moment. I really don't care. When I walk into heaven's gates, I'm going to see Jesus. It's not about streets of gold for me. It's about Jesus. I want to see the King of glory. I want to see my Lord, my Savior, the one who died on the cross for me. I want to get excited about Jesus. And I've got a daughter that's in heaven, and she's going to greet me, and I'm probably going to push her aside and go beeline for the throne. I'll drag her along behind, and we're going to just cast our crowns. We're going to lay down before him and say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, I love you for all that you've done for me. This is my Savior. This is my aspiration in life, to see him face to face." They tell us that Fanny Crosby, the blind songwriter, was sitting on the platform once with D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey, and the glory of the Lord was just filling that place, and she couldn't see it. And someone leaned over and said, "Boy, I'm so sorry that you can't see this. The presence of the Lord is almost visible in this place." And she says, "Don't feel bad for me. The first face that I will see is the face of my Savior. And it will be glory." I love Jesus. I'm not in love with Pentecostalism. I'm not in love with gifts of the Spirit. I'm in love with Jesus. God had called me to be a missionary when I was 9 years old. I had no talents, no abilities. I was extremely shy. I had nothing to offer, but at 9 years of age, God spoke to my heart, and I went to an altar, and I surrendered my life to the Lord, and it was clear. It was a compelling call. I got away from the Lord in high school until the 11th grade year when God did that again. He rang the dinner bell and said, "Come to the table. I've called you to be a missionary. It's time to get serious." And I went back to the altar that day, and my grades in high school were terrible. Everything was going downhill. But I knelt at that altar and I said, "Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. How am I ever going to get in college? I'm a D student. If you're going to do this, you have to do it by a miracle. You got to change me because I can't change me." I got up from that altar and went back to my house and began to do my devotions, which I've continued till this day, that every day opening the Word and waiting on the Lord. I'll tell you what happened in 6 months. My grades went from D to A. My brother, who was in the same grade because he was held back 1 year, looked at me and said, "Are you cheating? You're just as dumb as me. How can you do this?" And I turned to my brother and I said, "It's because of Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus. And he can do anything." I was a shy boy. I finished high school and graduated with honors. And God did a wonderful thing for me. But But I was still shy and ashamed of Jesus. I couldn't speak of him in public. And I knew God called me to be a missionary, and that means you got to be bold, you got to speak, you got to preach, you got to do all that stuff. My mother even sat down with me, and she had prayed that I'd be a missionary. She sat down with me, and she said, "Dick, are you sure? Are you really sure that God called you to be a missionary?" It's like, you? Duh. I tell you, it doesn't do much for your confidence to have your mother, who loves you and prayed for you to be a missionary, say, "You better think twice about this." I started working at Chrysler's to earn some money for college, and as I did so, there was opportunities to witness. My brother was there. He was carrying his Bible into work, and he was witnessing to other guys, and here I am, the missionary, and I can't do it. I tried over and over, and I failed. And I remember the one night I was going, and the Lord was speaking to my heart so strongly. He said, "You don't love me. You're ashamed of me, and I'm going to be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven." And I said, "Lord, I'm not ashamed of you. It's just that I can't do this. I try, and I'm going to give all my effort." So I went to work that night. I carried my Bible. I put it in the lunchbox. You got to hide Bibles, you know. Put it in the lunchbox, locked it away, and I went to enter the factory, and they had a guard shack there, and those guys check your lunchboxes and stuff. And I got right to the gate, and I chickened out. I mean, here I was with all my fervency and energy. And I love you, Lord. I want to get there. I want to do what you called me to do. And I couldn't do it. Took my lunchbox back, pulled the Bible out, threw it in the car, and locked it away. Went into work that night. I got sick during the night while I was working. I got a raging fever. The guy I worked with looked at me and said, "You don't look good. What happened to you?" And I thought, I know what's happening to me. I've grieved the Spirit of God. I don't know what to do. I got home that night about 11 o'clock. My dad happened to be awake. He looked at me and said, "You look terrible. What's wrong?" "I don't know. I got a fever." Chucked my fever. It was 104. Rushed me to the hospital. For a week, I had a fever of over 104. That was incredible. I lost half of my hair. I lost the wonderful suntan that I had. All my skin peeled off. I had calluses on the bottoms of my feet and my hands. It looked like elephantitis. The doctor came in and said, "Dick, we don't know what you have. We have no idea what's wrong with you. But your spleen is enlarged, and if you get out of bed and you start moving around, that spleen could rupture and you will die. This is serious." I tell you, it was the seventh day in the hospital. I was wrestling with God. I knew why I was there. Because I said I loved Jesus, and he said, I called you. And I said, "Lord, I can't do it. I've tried. I'm shy. I'm timid. I can't speak in public. And I can't even carry my Bible to work. But I do love you. And I want you to change me." And that night in a hospital bed, where I'd never seen people raise their hands before, but in that hospital bed, wrestling with God in prayer, I finally said, "Lord, I give up. I can't do it." And I raised my hands to heaven, and I said, "Lord," and the tears were streaming down my face, and I said, "Lord, I need you. Nothing else will do. Not just a part, I give you all of my heart." And I gave Jesus my life, and I said, "To live or to die, I am yours. I no longer own my life. I no longer have rights or privileges. I can't make my own way. I ask you to live your life in me." And that night he filled me with his Holy Spirit. And somebody's going to say, "Did you speak in tongues?" And I say, "That's none of your business. That's my business with God." "Did you have holy laughter?" "None of your business." "Did you cry?" "Of course I cried." "Did you receive some other gift? Did you get electrified? Did you have all this?" "None of your business. That's not the issue. The issue is I brought my life to my Savior, my body, my mind, everything. And I said, 'Lord, I surrender it all. I give it to you. And without you, I can't live this life. Live your life in me. Fill me in Jesus' name.'" And he filled me that day. I was a changed young man. The next morning, the nurses came in. The fever had broken. Within 2 days, all the symptoms of disease were gone, except for the calluses left behind and the skin that was peeled off and still had only half my hair. The doctor came in and said, "I give up. I don't know what you had, but you don't have it anymore." I was healed. Within 2 weeks, I was able to go back to work. And guess who carried his Bible to work? Carried that Bible to work, and I was still scared. But I carried that Bible to work, said, "Not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Lord, I'm doing this because I don't live anymore. Christ Jesus lives in me." Carried it into the work, and I sat down.
for the lunch table, and the Lord said, take out the Bible now and read it. I go, oh, no, that wasn't part of the deal. So I picked up the Bible, and I started to read it, and the worst guy in the factory, the guy with the foulest mouth, the guy that was always mocking Christians, was on the other side of the room, and as soon as I brought that Bible out, he made a beeline for me, and I thought, oh, no, here goes. He sat down in front of me, and he said, what are you reading? And I said, I'm reading the Bible. He said, you're kidding. I have never read the Bible. I've heard a lot about it. Can you read me something? And I got to share Christ with him. Well, I'll tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes in, he comes in for a purpose. And the purpose is not excitement. The purpose is to change your life to be like Jesus. That Jesus lives in you. My life is not my own. It is his. I am bought and paid for. And now he fills me with his presence. And he changes me. From glory to glory, from faith to faith. It doesn't stop. When you're in high school, it doesn't stop. When you're out of college, it doesn't stop. But God continues to change you by his Holy Spirit. I went away to college for 1 year, came back. My congregation at home didn't recognize me. They said, who are you? I stood up and I preached for the first time in my life. And they said, that's not the boy we sent to college. Something's happened. What happened to you? Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Make a long story of my life shorter. God sent us to the mission field. Our daughter died on the mission field, and we ended up coming back home. We pastored churches, and some were good. Most of them were healthy and successful, but there was something missing. I was pastoring a church, and I won't say where, but it was in Pennsylvania. It was a struggling church. It was a big church. It was a great church, but it's just a lot of factions in the church, a lot of things going on. And I was trying with all my might to pastor that church and do it well. And I think I did well. The church packed out, but I was exhausted. So much so that I was ready to give up the ministry. At that time, God heard my cry and sent me to the national office to work as the webmaster for 2 years. And during that time, I visited a church that was like the old Alliance church I remembered, but it wasn't Alliance. It was just like an Alliance church. It was filled with the Spirit of God. You could feel it when you walked in. And the presence of the Lord Jesus was manifest every week. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean, it was the Shekinah glory. We didn't only see the cloud, but we felt it. The presence of Jesus there. My wife and I attended for 2 years, and we both testified to each other, and we said, I think we wept through every service for 2 years because the presence of the Lord was so sweet. And I said, Lord, I want a church like this. Lord, I want to pastor a church like this. What's the difference between this and my Alliance church? What's the difference that makes a church a place of God's power? And Jesus said, look around you. And I looked around, I saw all these people loving the Lord with all their hearts, singing with all their might. They didn't care who watched them, if anybody was watching. And Jesus said, they love me more than anything. Do you love me more than anything? And like Peter, I said, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Of course I love you. Who would be a pastor without loving you? He said, no, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than church growth? Do you love me more than preaching? Do you love me more than pastoring those people? Are you willing to put me in first place, not second place, not third place? Are you willing to love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Are you willing to seek me with all your heart? And I said, yes, Lord, I want a church like that. God sent us to a little church in Grove City, Pennsylvania, that I didn't want to go to, but he sent us there anyway. As I interviewed for the job, I asked a question to the elder board, and I want to throw that out to you, all you Alliance people. You sit on an elder board and a candidate looks to you and says, what is God doing in your church that nobody else can take credit for? What is God doing in your church that nobody else can take any credit for? And they thought, it seemed like 5 minutes on the phone. And finally they came back and said, Pastor, we're thinking, but we can't find anything God's doing in our church. You know what that does to my stomach? You know what it does to my heart? Hello, Jesus, where are you? If God's not doing anything in your church, where's the Shekinah glory? Where did it go? Maybe it's not Ichabod, but something has quenched the Spirit of God. What has happened is we love other things more than him. We don't really want him. It was Jacob that tried everything by the old finagling spirit of self. And he tried to achieve everything that he wanted in life until that one day Esau was after him and he met the Lord and he wrestled with an angel to the breaking of the day. And he said this, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Wow. Pastors in the Christian Missionary Alliance, we need to get serious with the presence of the Lord. I will not let you go, Lord, unless you bless me with your presence in my life and in my church, that people will see the glory of the Lord and they'll be drawn to him. Wow. My wife and I began a pursuit of God in a new way of loving the Lord Jesus with all our hearts and seeking him in prayer and asking for the fullness of his Spirit and asking him to do that in our church. It's a long story, but God visited the Grove City Alliance Church with the Shekinah glory, the presence of the Lord. It has continued unceasing since 2003 that every service you walk in and you sense the presence of the Lord. I'm not saying that. The visitors are saying that. The people getting saved off the streets are walking in and saying that. Jesus is here. And a young lady that came to my office knocking on the door after attending 3 months, and she said, I just came to find out what's going on here. She said, Pastor, I come in every Sunday and I'm fine until I walk across the threshold of the church. She said, as soon as I walk through those doors, I get this tingly sensation from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. And she says, there's no music going on. There's no preaching going on, but it's there. And I sit down and I just feel that it's tingling all over my body until you're done. And I walk out the doors and then it's gone. And she looked at me and she said, what is that? I'll tell you what it is. It's Jesus knocking at your heart's door. Asked her a few questions about her life. She had four husbands. The one she's living with is not her own. The woman at the well proclaimed Christ to her, and she came and received Jesus. I mean, it's happened over and over. The presence of God, the altars are filled, people weeping in the services, healings taking place, people being filled and transformed, marriages being restored, demons being cast out. The story goes on and on and on. Why? Because Pastor Dick is a good pastor? No. It's because Pastor Dick has been filled with God's Spirit and said, Lord Jesus, I want to love you more than anything else. I want to love you. I want to pursue you. I want your presence in my life. I want your presence in my church. Nothing else matters. Numbers don't matter. Finances don't matter. What matters is Jesus. I want him. I want him in his fullness in my church. I'll tell you, we've never had to wrestle with crazy things happen. Crazy things happen. But they can happen with Jesus there, and everybody's okay. Everybody recognizes this is the presence of the Lord. We're not promoting any of that stuff. We're promoting Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men to myself. If I am lifted up, I will be glorified. Right here today, tonight, as we begin the ministration time, a time of ministering to you, and including you to us. I want to minister to pastors before we do anything. If you're a pastor here and your church is dry, your church is shriveling up, your church is not filled with the presence of the Lord, and you want that to change, and you're willing to get desperate with God and say, Lord, I won't let you go unless you do this. Nothing else will do. I just want you to stand where you are. Right where you are, and say to the Lord, Lord, I want my church to be a different church. I want my life to be a different life. Ministry team, stand up and let's look. Just look. I love you guys. You got a hard job. You got unthankful people. And many of you have worked so hard and you've cried out to God and said, God, what more can I do? I've done it all. And Jesus said, you could just love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Give me your all. Just surrender it like Jacob and say, Lord, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to hang on to you. I'm going to seek the presence of the Lord in my life. My wife was here last night and she said, you know, there's something scary about the way these guys talk about the Spirit of God. She said, you kind of make it scary. She said, I've never known the Holy Spirit to be scary. I said, maybe we've got to change the term and call it Holy Presence. She said, now that's cool. When you're asking for the Holy Spirit, you're asking for the holy presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to come and fill you. Now, is that scary? Is that scary? No, it's not. Well, it doesn't matter what we call the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus coming in all of his fullness to fill you, take control, and be glorified in you. All these pastors are out here and wanting the Lord to touch your church.